Right, so next talk is Eric and Roger.
Thanks. Great to see so many of you here. Didn't expect this amount of attendance here, but it's good to see so many people interested in a topic like database-driven API tools. First, let me say a few words about myself. My name's Eric. I'm a software engineer at Fulfillment Tools, and in my free time, I'm an open source maintainer in the GraphQL space. I mainly work on GraphQL and Python, so that includes the libraries like Graphene and Strawberry. And let me say a few words about Strawberry first. Strawberry is a GraphQL framework which enables you to easily build GraphQL applications in Python. It was created by Patrick Amigno, and it follows an implementation-first approach, which is a subset of code-first GraphQL libraries. And it's basically inspired by data classes and really makes you implement a GraphQL way, GraphQL API in a very Pythonic way. And Strawberry offers integrations for Django, SQL Alchemy, Pydantic, and more. And if you've been in the Python space and you see Python, Django, and SQL Alchemy, you probably know where this is headed a bit. Just out of curiosity, who here has used or who is using Python actively in an API project? That's nice. And who here has used GraphQL in Python before? Okay, not so many. Maybe I can inspire a few of you to give it a try in the future. But let's get back to the topic and have a look at today's API development and how many of you probably develop your APIs. And that is using an API-first approach. So basically, you create a concept for something you want to add to your application. In this case, we have an example API of a user and a post, for example, for a blog application. And you can see you have a couple of types, a user type, which has an ID, and username and the list of posts, as well as a post type, which consists of course, the title, the content, and you can also fetch the author for a post. And down here, we enable the user or enable any API consumer to fetch users from the API, in this case by ID, and it will return a user. And this is what you start off when doing sort of API first. You create a contract, you say, this is our API, so the consumers know how to use it, and then you start implementing it. So basically, in Strawberry, implementing this API would look something along the lines of this. Very similar, as you can see. You can see the user class, you can see the post class. And then to resolve the posts of a user, you add certain data resolvers. Like over here, you call the post service to load the posts of a user with the given user ID. And you do the same for your queries. So down here, you add a resolver to get a user by its ID. And all of this is manual. You have to add it step by step. And usually, in order to be able to do that, you need to implement the methods that are called here. In this case, we have a service layer, including a post service, a user service, and this service layer, again, needs to access the database below that to actually fetch the data. So after declaring all of this, you again have to make another declaration step and declare some database models. In this case, I'm using a Django flavor to just declare the models. And over here, we have the models for user and post again. As you can see, they're very similar. And they, again, describe how the data is mapped to SQL Alchemy and to a SQL database, I'm sorry. And if you map that to SQL, it would look something like this. And if you remember the schema I showed you, it's very similar, especially in this overview. And the question I always have when working on applications like these, where you have a strict layer separation, is doesn't it feel kind of redundant to declare your types two or three times with minimal differences in the fields? Okay, I'm not going to argue against clear separation of concerns in applications. That's an important pattern, and it has its sense. But in very CRUD-heavy applications, just pulling your username through with the same type through all of your layers in your application can sometimes feel exhausting, and it can take up a lot of your development time you could use for other valuable things like actual features. So I wonder, doesn't it feel redundant to do this a bit? And let's examine this further a bit at first by looking at the control flow of such an application as the one I've shown you. So right here on the left side, we have a sample query, which just gets the user of the ID 1 and fetches all of the posts associated to that user. And this query is usually passed by a GraphQL execution engine, which then calls the appropriate data resolvers you have defined in your schema. So in our case, it was the user resolver. And then next, the user resolver calls the user service to actually fetch the user from the database. And then the data flow goes on to the object relational mapper, the Django models I've just shown you, to generate a SQL query to actually fetch the user from the database. So in this case, we can see select ID username from users is 1. So next up, we need to fetch the posts connected to the user over here. So once again, after the user is resolved, the GraphQL execution engine goes ahead and resolves the post fields of the users. And again here, the user post resolver is called. It invokes the post service to get all of the posts from the database. And again, another SQL query over here is formulated. So when you build such an application, basically you need all of your service layers, you need your database access layer, and you need your schema layer. And then you need to glue it together using a lot of glue code, right? Calling all of the services from each other. And this is where database-driven APIs come in. Because the paradigm I've just shown you basically has a workflow from